Welcome to the Political Cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Welcome back to the third and final hour of tonight's live broadcast of the Political Cesspool radio program. It's Saturday, January 22nd. I'm broadcasting to you tonight from AM 1380 WLRM Radio in Memphis, Tennessee, our flagship station, but by no means our only affiliate, as we are also broadcasting to the AM-FM affiliate stations of the Liberty News Radio Network and welcoming a robust listening audience online at thepoliticalcesspool.org. And libertynewsradio.com. It's been a great show so far tonight. Keith Alexander was on fire during tonight's first hour. And then, of course, you just heard from our first guest of the evening during the second hour, Mark Weber of the Institute for Historical Review. Reverend Ted Pike is coming up later this hour. But first, one of my very good friends, Gordon Baum, the CEO, Chief Executive Officer of the Council of Conservative Citizens, joins us live on the air. Gordon, welcome back to the show.
Glad to be with you.
It's good to have you with us and good to have so many fans joining us in the Political Cesspool virtual fan party and chat that is being hosted by the Council of Conservative Citizens at CFCC.org. Join us there now. Thanks to Kyle Rogers, Gordon. It's another feather in the hat of the council. It's really been a lot of fun to have been able to participate in this for the last several weeks and for the indefinite future.
Well, Kyle does a magnificent job, as you do with the Political Cesspool, with our website, CFCC.org. And this is one of our new innovations, and I understand it's worked out quite successfully.
Always a big crowd on Saturday nights to coincide with our live broadcast. The Political Cesspool and the Council of Conservative Citizens always in partnership, working together for the benefit of our people. And, of course, again, Gordon Baum, CEO of the Council, joining us live on the air right now. Unfortunately, Gordon, not everyone shares our paleoconservative beliefs, including the governor of Alabama. Have you heard about this story?
Some, not a lot. It hadn't been much in the news.
Well, let me break it down for you. We got this new Republican governor in Alabama, but he's learning fast that he may be the chief executive of the state, but he's certainly not the one in charge, and not by a long shot. He should also be learning, but probably isn't, that pandering to blacks is worse than pointless. It's just like walking around with a kick me sign on your back. You pander to blacks, and what happens? The next day, you're on your knees, and you're apologizing to the Jews, and this is what happened here. It's called the White Wimp Shuffle, Gordon, and this is what Robert Bentley, governor of Alabama, did. He thought it would be a good idea, and I agree, to be a good Christian and speak at, and this is where I disagree, speak at Dexter Avenue Baptist Church on Martin Luther King Day. Now, King preached there at one time, as we all know, and for some reason, Bentley thought that this guy deserves to be honored. During his speech, Bentley got caught up in the spirit and thought he would show the overwhelmingly black crowd that he's one of the good white folks who don't believe in racial divisions. Race don't matter to him, Gordon. Oh, heck no. He sure enough don't see color. So there's only two kinds of people in the world, Bentley said, those who accept Jesus as their Savior and those who haven't. And if you haven't accepted Jesus, you're not his brother. Okay, now we can all go along with that part of it. The Council of Conservative Citizens is a Christian organization. This is a Christian radio program. And for a minute there, the governor of Alabama probably actually believed that he was down with the brothers. But that was until, Gordon, that the Jews got wind of his speech and flipped their yarmulkes. And this is what happened.
I would add this. I'm sure the Muslims had a lot to do with it, too.
Well, I'm sure they didn't like it any more than the ADL did. That's for sure. And you bring up a good point there. But it was the ADL that issued out a statement that said that the governor of Alabama should have been aware of the possible repercussions of his statement. Now, all of the sideshows aside, basically what the ADL was upset about, Gordon, was the fact that this governor went to a church and said that he wants all Alabamians to be his brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, that in and of itself, we support, we agree with. And
but
it was the ADL that said...
What audacity of him to say this. I mean, after all, just probably 99% of people in Alabama are Christians.
That's...
And that's who he's representing. And that, I mean, golly. But, I mean, you know, to be white and be Christian on top of it and advocate Christianity, I mean, how much more politically incorrect can you get?
Well, that's the point. And so you have this left-wing organization, and this is what they said in an official statement. The governor doesn't have to be a seasoned politician to understand the impact of his remarks.
Well, what would the impact be?
Well, it said the governor... Well, that's all they said. And that in and of itself, Gordon, was enough to prompt an immediate groveling apology from the governor's office that said the governor had no intent to offend by his remarks. He's the governor of all the people, non-Christians too. And then, but that wasn't enough for the ADL. They said an apology is only meaningful if it is consistent with a sincere understanding of what a person has done wrong. If Governor Bentley were to say, I realize I was wrong, that we are not all brothers and sisters
well,
in Christ.
This is a dangerous disease that the Republicans have, and unfortunately some of the Tea Party people have, is that they want to have this wide tent, and they are so afraid to lose the black vote because, I mean, the last election, they did get 2% of the black vote. See, if they just try harder, they may get 3%.
That's right.
We got to work on that. We got to work. Not that... What they don't understand is, like with McCain, you tick off so many whites that 10 times more whites don't go vote because they don't think they have a dog in the fight. And so they just sit home, and so you can pick up a few black votes, like, big deal. But this is an insanity that just permeates the Republican Party and these neocons that now try to run it. They are having some losses, thankfully. But this is a sickness the Republican Party's had, and even though I vote, I'm sure like you, mostly for Republicans, unless there's a good independent, because it's better than a Democrat. But that doesn't mean I'm a Republican, because there's this sickness that's permeated the Republican Party since its inception before the Civil War. Don't forget, they were the ones that promoted the civil rights more than the Democrats.
That's exactly right, Gordon.
In the 60s. And so this is just... We cannot put our eggs in the basket of the Republican Party because this is what they'll do. They don't get it. They just don't get it. And the more that people, and we should participate in politics, and we should get people to run for office, and we should back good conservative candidates, regardless of political party, but unfortunately most of them are Republicans in this day and age. But well, that doesn't mean they agree with us on our issues. They may be interested in health care, but they don't give a swat about immigration or issues or affirmative action or quotas and things that hurt the white community and crime. But they don't care about that. They don't see it. They don't get it. They think it's all got to do with economics.
Gordon, hang on right there, my friend. I'm going to let you have your say and then some. When we return, we got to take a quick commercial break. We're going to continue on with Gordon Baum about the impotence of the Republican Party and what a true conservative organization stands for. Stay tuned. You don't want to miss it.
Don't go away. There's more Political Cesspool coming your way right after these messages.
When the truth is found,
welcome back. To get on the Political Cesspool, call us on James's Dime, toll free at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the Political Cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, everybody. Don't want to waste a minute of our precious time this evening, particularly when we have an all-star like Gordon Baum on the air, Chief Executive Officer of the Council of Conservative Citizens. Gordon, you were talking in the previous segment about the groveling apology issued by Alabama Governor Robert Bentley after he was condemned by left-wing groups for pronouncing himself as a Christian. I mean, and this is what, you know, He sits in the same chair that George Wallace used to sit in, and this is the best that the conservative opposition can offer, a groveling apology for saying that they're a Christian? We got to do better than that.
Well, I've long tried to explain to people that to fall in love with politicians is like falling in love with a prostitute. Eventually, they're going to break your heart. because it beats Dickens out of working for a living. And being governor or congressman or senator pays good. And so the idea that these people are stand-up people like George Wallace or Lester Maddox or John Rarick or Kirk Fordyce in Mississippi is a big mistake, because these men weren't politicians. Well, Wallace was, but Maddox and Rarick and Kirk Fordyce. You know, Kirk Fordyce was cut of different cloth. When he was at the Southern Governors Conference here, when he was governor of Mississippi for 8 years, he made a statement one time that we are a Christian nation, and some other goober-wad governor Republican said, "You mean Judeo-Christian?" And Kirk swirled around with that look he could give you and cut your head off. And said, "About a minute, I'd have said it." And this is it. They're so politically incorrect that they are fearful that the media will call them racist or anti-Semitic or anti-Muslim, that they just run in constant fear of this, and they don't understand this is what the people want, not to be anti-somebody, but be pro-them. And what's wrong with being pro-us, Christian and white? This is the people that built this country. We're just an extension of Europe, and we want to keep it that way. Now, if we want all the Mexicans and Haitians and Egyptians and everybody else, Somalis, to come in and take over, the Filipinos, well, that's great, but don't think it's going to be the United States of America. Go look where they came from. It's going to become like that. You know, ghettos don't make people. People make ghettos. And just like in the Southwest, it's becoming like Mexico. It isn't they all come up here and become good Americans. They just bring their culture with them. And this is what we have in the whole country. And most whites see it, but they're afraid to say it. They're afraid to say it because they don't be politically incorrect. And their preacher or their minister or the guy next door will look poorly at them because they are racist or they're, you know, anti-Semitic or they're anti-Muslim or anti-somebody. Well, no, you're not anti. You got a right to be what you are. Why is it La Raza, which means the race, is the main spokesman for the Hispanic? Well, they're proud of the fact that they're Hispanic, Mestizos, part Indian, and it's La Raza. Well, if we had a group called the white race, oh, my goodness, the walls would cave in on us. Oh, how dare you? You know, this proves, you know, for a fact that you're a racist. Well, no, it's not being a racist. It's trying to self-preservation. We got a right to preserve ourselves. The whites are only 8% of the world's population, but we carry the whole world on our back. We are the ones that brought them industry and civilization and laws and... If you go to China, they don't dress in gowns. They dress like European people do. You know, we carry culture on our back, technology and medicine. As a result, the world has exploded. In 1900, whites were approximately 10% of the world's population. Now we're down to 8%. There are more Chinese in China, 1.4 billion, than there are white people in the world. There are more Indians in India than there are white people in the world. There's more blacks in Africa than there are white people in the world. But yet, every time there is a catastrophe, whether it's the tsunami in Bangladesh or Southeast Asia or an earthquake in Haiti, who's the one that comes to the rescue? The Europeans, the Swiss and the Germans and Americans, Canadians, New Zealands, blah, blah, blah. And we come to the rescue. But where's all the other 92% of the world's people? They don't lift a hand. The Chinese, nobody, even the Japanese, unless they think there's a profit motive in it, they don't have any generosity. It's sink or swim, dog eat dog. And we're the only nice ones because we're Christians to be trying to be nice guys. Well, what's the old adage? Nice guys finish last, apparently. And everybody espies our humility and our humanity as weakness. And it carries over to this nation. And that these, whether they're the ADL or the NAACP or the Muslim organization, they realize that all they have to do is put us on a guilt trip, and most whites will then grovel. And unfortunately, this is the kind of leadership they have in the Republican Party. Grovel, grovel, grovel. But they're leaving half the whites out here don't even go vote anymore because their politicians don't represent them. They're more afraid of the news media than they are of the voters. And this is where we've made a big mistake. The whites have got to be organized, and they have got to have the politicians more fearful of their anger than of the media's anger, and then they'll quit doing this. See, politicians, they pander to those that can help them or hurt them the worst. And if it's the media that can do that, that's who they'll pander to. But if they think their voters will do that to them, they will then pander to the voters. But they're not going to do it on their own. We have got to be well enough organized to demonstrate strength and make them aware of this is a possibility. Make us angry, and you're going to suffer at the polls for it.
Gordon, I'm here in the CFCC chat, the Political Cesspool Fan Party, and you are sending the crowd into a frenzy. They are very much enjoying your comments tonight, and if I do say so myself, my friend, you are absolutely on fire, and you bring up one of the classic double standards. It is absolutely okay, not only allowed but encouraged, for all of these so-called minorities to celebrate their history and culture and heritage. Whereas for whites, who are only 8% of the world population, it's repulsive. Well, this is something that needs to be mentioned. And, you know, you see it now. You can't even have a white governor of a southern state proclaim himself to be a Christian without having someone demand an apology, an apology that is given. And you've watched the Republican Party this week. We're a week or two removed from the horrible Martin Luther King holiday, and you hear all of the Republicans, you know, proclaiming Martin Luther King was really a Republican. He was a conservative, and, you know, my God, oh, my God.
James, Martin Luther King, people ought to write for our book, The Truth About Martin Luther King. He wasn't even a Christian. To be a Christian, you have to believe that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, and he was skeptical of that. Martin Luther King was a fraud, and they claim that he's a Christian minister. Now, he has the right to whatever opinion he wants, but to paint him as a saint in the Christian church is just absolutely absurd. The man doubted the virgin birth of Christ.
Gordon, real quick, I got to say this because we only have 30 seconds left, and I've double booked this hour. You've been so incredible tonight. We're going to have to get you back on sooner rather than later. And I mean as in sooner as in within the next week or two. We got to follow this up because I really want to pursue this for more time. But we got Reverend Ted Pike waiting in the wings. If you can quickly, give us the contact information for the council, and we have 20 seconds, and we'll pick it up next time.
Our new newspaper, Bill Rowland's the editor, has just been mailed. People are starting to receive them today. The Citizens Informer, for a free copy of that and information about the council, no obligation, just contact us at cofcc.org. Excellent website.
And check out cfcc.org. There you will find the mailing address for the council and the phone number. It's all there.
Or they can just call us, or they can write to us at cofcc. That's Council of Concerned Citizens.
Gordon, hang on. We'll get that information out right after the break. They're telling me it's a hard break, so just we'll get right back to it. Stay tuned, everybody. We're out of time.
To get on the show and express your opinion in the political cesspool, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, everybody, it's hard to believe it, but we're down to our final half hour of tonight's program, and it has been a great one. Not only have my co-hosts been particularly sharp tonight, our guests have been absolutely incredible. Mark Weber during the second hour. You just heard from Gordon Baum, and we did not have enough time to wrap up with Gordon. He was just setting the woods on fire this evening. If you want more information about the Council of Conservative Citizens, don't forget to check them out at cfcc.org, and you can mail them by writing the CFCC, P.O. Box 221683, St. Louis, Missouri, 6-3-1-2-2. If you missed that, you're going to have to check our broadcast archives and listen to me say it again, because we don't have enough time to repeat it, because we have a third and final All-Star on deck for you this evening, Reverend Ted Pike, the National Director of the National Prayer Network and one of our all-time favorite guests. Reverend Pike, welcome back to the show.
Well, thanks for having me, James.
It's always our pleasure, and I truly mean that. You know, one of the themes tonight in the show, Ted, as we covered with Mark and with Gordon, is ineffective conservative leadership, and to put it more bluntly, really the impotence of the modern-day conservative movement, or what passes as modern-day conservatism, to deal with the issues in a frank and candid way and to really stand up and safeguard our interests. And you have had some absolutely outstanding articles published recently to your website at truthtellers.org that deals with this head on. And specifically, Ted, you write about the terrible reaction, I guess, of the conservatives to the Tucson shooting, and in general, how conservatives, particularly those in the religious right, fail to point out and unmask the real enemy of Christianity and of paleoconservatives, and that is, of course, the ADL and SPLC. And I know that's a broad topic, but I'd like to ask you to pick it up from there.
Yes. As most people remember, the shooting of Representative Giffords and others took place on a Saturday. Well, it wasn't even 24 hours before Mark Potok of the Southern Poverty Law Center was on MSNBC with a huge laundry list of what he claimed were very compelling evidences that Loeffner was actually influenced by the uncivil speech of the religious conservative Tea Party right. And then that evening, Sunday evening, again only one day after, the ADL, as I knew they would, came out with broad insinuations, innuendo, that even though the facts weren't all in, everybody should be on guard, especially suspicious of the incivil speech which ADL had been describing concerning the Tea Party and the town hall meetings all the previous summer. So it was very clear that they were referring to the religious, political, conservative right. And yet in the firestorm of debate that followed, which ADL and SPLC had masterminded to go in the direction of casting aspersions on the religious conservative right, all of the conservative big organizations that I know of, we're talking about WorldNet Daily and American Family Association, FRC, all of them, to my knowledge, either barely mentioned or completely failed to mention where these insinuations originally came from, which turned out to be completely inaccurate, completely irrelevant, completely non-descriptive of the true mentality of Loeffner. And the truth, of course, is that they were jump-started by ADL, SPLC, for the purpose of setting the agenda and teaching the nation false lessons about hate and bigotry, bias, all these things, lessons that the ADL, SPLC wanted the nation to learn.
Ladies and gentlemen, talking with Ted Pike of the National Prayer Network, check out his website, truthtellers.org. There you will find two articles that provide you with a little more information about that, which he is talking about right now. One dated January 10th of this year, ADL SPLC commenting on the quote-unquote incivility of the right that prompted the Arizona shooting, and then his most recent article dated January 17th, the right protects the ADL SPLC accusers. You know, Ted, it doesn't surprise any of us in the know that the ADL and SPLC would tote this line, but what continues to disappoint us is the fact that not only is the right not condemning these organizations, be it the religious right or the paleoconservative right, they're not even mentioning them as part of the problem, and in fact, they are the biggest problem, and it's left to people like you and me to let this truth get out there, and it weighs heavily upon our shoulders.
Well, in the first place, the religious right is terrified of the ADL, and the SPLC, the Southern Poverty Law Center, has attacked the religious right rather aggressively in the last couple of years and has brought some members of the religious right to the fore, at least mentioning the name of the SPLC, but of course never mentioning that it's 100% Jewish organization. The same goes for the ADL, but with the ADL, they won't even mention the existence of the ADL except in a complimentary way. And as an example, about 6 weeks ago, you know, when Helen Thomas so courageously stood up in Michigan and again laid her case against the Zionists and Jewish control of the media and Congress and so on. Well, WorldNet Daily, Joe Farah, Drew Zahn, and the editors there, they jumped all over Helen Thomas, accusing her of venomous language, venomous attacks on God's chosen people and so on. And they concluded their article by endorsing the opinion of Abe Foxman of the Anti-Defamation League. And so basically what they did is, rather far from criticizing Foxman and ADL, they held up ADL as the final word, the authority on what constitutes anti-Semitism, bias, hate crimes, and all these kinds of things. This was absolutely unconscionable, disgraceful. The least they should do is at least be quiet or at least leave the authority of the ADL out of it.
You know, ladies and gentlemen, I feel compelled to say this, and I just did in the Political Cesspool virtual chat that, of course, coincides with each broadcast that we present to you on Saturday nights. But, you know, we're here now with Ted Pike. He's really a class act, one of a kind, a leader that is soft-spoken and battle-scarred, and we're very lucky to be able to feature him as often as we do on this radio program. And I highly encourage you to not only check out but support his work at truthtellers.org. Check out his most recent column. And we're going to be talking about in the next segment an article that is still forthcoming, a very big issue that he's working on that kind of transitions from that which we're talking about now. But Ted Pike is one of a kind, one in a million, and he deserves your support at truthtellers.org. But you know, Ted, I know this is a question we've been featuring you on this program for 7 years now. You've made truly countless appearances, and this is an open-ended question, but it begs to be asked, particularly when you consider the discussion we're having right now. What has happened to the Christian church, and will it ever really come back around and embrace the faith as it used to in years back?
Well, one of the big problems is that the theologians, the leaders of the basically American fundamentalism over a century ago, they made their peace with a very, very unbiblical doctrine, and that is that the Jews as a nation can return to Palestine without obedience, without exercising justice, righteousness, and mercy, and so on. This flies in flat defiance of at least two dozen of the clearest statements in the Old Testament law that the Jews cannot enter the Holy Land as a nation except in obedience, and if they are in disobedience, God will throw them out and they can't come back again. So here is a very heretical stand which our fundamentalist forefathers, led the church into decades ago. As a result, what you have is you have literally an estimated 70 million evangelical laity who are completely sold, to some degree at least, a large degree, sold on this idea that Israel can do no wrong, they are the apple of God's eye, and our duty is to bless them unconditionally, military, morally, and so on, and to do less is to curse God's chosen people. Now you have a vicious cycle here in which the people who are paying the salaries, paying the costs of these huge national ministries and watchdog groups and so on, will not stand for the slightest word of criticism against Israel. And the same way with members of Congress. We have some fighting Republicans in Congress who help us defeat the hate bill when it came around over five times over the last 10 years. But the problem is, again, that vast constituency of Israel-first evangelicals will vote out those good men if they criticize Israel. So it's a very deep hole that we have dug ourselves in. I will say that we are getting a lot of good response from Christians coming to Truth Tellers.
Hold on right there, Reverend Pike. We'll be right back to wrap up the interview right after this. Stay tuned, everybody.
We'll be back right after these messages.
We'll return. We'll return. We'll return. We'll return.
in the political cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
Welcome back to, believe it or not, the final segment of tonight's broadcast of the Political Cesspool Radio Program. Very honored to have back with us on the show Reverend Ted Pike of the National Prayer Network. Be sure not only to visit and bookmark his website, but contribute and support his work as well by visiting truthtellers.org. I'm sure there's many, many people in our listening audience tonight around the world who only wish that they had a minister like Reverend Ted Pike behind their pulpits and their churches on Sunday morning. And you know what's sad is that it wasn't that long ago that most of our clergy had truthfulness and biblically rooted facts backing up that which they said. Now it seems as though people like Ted Pike are few and far between when it comes down to speaking up and speaking out in public forums the way that he does. And that is why he is one of our very favorite guest and one of our very good friends. Ted, you know, we were talking in the last segment about the ineffective conservative response to the Tucson shooting, how conservatives, particularly those among the modern-day so-called religious right, have completely fallen asleep at the wheel, absolutely unwilling to point out the enemy and label evil as evil. And I want to transition now because I know that there's something else of equal importance that you're working on, a story that will be appearing tomorrow on your website. Can you give us a little more information about that?
Yes. As many people are aware, Israel has had some suffered some real hits over the last couple of years, all due to her own indiscretion and cruelty. The first was the misbegotten invasion of Gaza, operation of Cast Lead, which really turned not only a lot of thinking people, but especially liberals and even many liberal Jews against Israel in strong criticism. Then there was the abortive terrorist attack on the Free Gaza Flotilla, which only hastened that unpopularity worldwide. But even now, there's a very strong movement in Israel, particularly in the far right, the ultra-Orthodox right in Israel, to actually advocate real violence against the Arabs. And there's been a number of rabbis coming out lately, rabbinical authorities stating unabashedly, for example, that the Gentiles, the Arabs, should be killed, even their children. In fact, there was a book that has widely sold throughout Israel over the past year called The King's Torah. It says that even Arab children, because it's almost a certainty they will grow up to be suicide bombers and terrorists against Israel, should be killed by the people of Israel immediately before they can grow up. And then Obadiah Yosef of the high in the Shah's party, the head of the Shah's party in Knesset, said that Gentiles exist to serve Jews, that they are literally beasts of burden meant by Yahweh to provide ease and comfort and assistance to the Jewish people. And then, to top that, 50 top municipal rabbis, the top rabbis in Israel who are actually supported by the government of Israel, they said a few weeks back, about a month back, in a bold statement that was penned and authored by one of the top rabbis of Israel, Shmuel Eliyahu, that racism originates in the Torah, and they advocate in no way cooperating with Arabs any longer and even renting an apartment or certainly selling land to the Arabs. And then added to that, the Shah's interior minister, Eli Yishai, when he was asked politely by a large evangelical organization during the recent forest fires in Israel, if American evangelicals could help with material and manpower and so on, He refused to let evangelicals come to Israel to help put out the forest fires, evidently believing that God would not honor the land being polluted by the goyim, especially Christian idolaters. And then just this week, the ultra-Orthodox, evidently from the same Shah's party, perhaps it's from the same people in the West Bank who produced the King's Torah, maybe it's not even known, but a new video produced by the ultra-Orthodox Now advocates killing, outright killing, Israeli government officials, court officials, police, anyone from the government of Israel who comes to the aid of a Palestinian while the settlers, the ultra-Orthodox, are killing him, beating him up, setting fire onto his house or anything like that. So what we're seeing is a very, very strong drift in Israel toward radical Talmudic ethics and action, violent action against the Palestinians. Now, for nearly 30 years, I have been warning the evangelicals and really the whole world that rabbinic Talmudic Judaism contains within itself all of these advocations of violence and discrimination and bigotry against the Gentiles. But only, especially in the last year, are we seeing actual rabbinic authorities in Israel who are claiming to be absolutely true to the Talmud, coming out and really saying they want to put into action what the Talmud says. And so I think a lot of people now are beginning to connect the dots. They're beginning to realize that all of this so-called anti-Semitic information we've been trying to give about what's really in the Talmud, what's really in the Kabbalah, is really very true, and now the Orthodox are confirming the truth of what we have said all along.
Ladies and gentlemen, you'll have a chance to read more about Reverend Pike's thoughts on this particular subject, which is obviously a very important one, by visiting his website tomorrow. Ted, I believe it's scheduled to be published
I'm putting up tomorrow night at truthtellers.org. It's right there on the homepage.
Well, check it out, truthtellers.org, as if you needed an extra reason or an incentive to visit Truth Tellers each day. Ted Pike's continued analysis of this issue will be featured there tomorrow night. And I know, Reverend, that you just had a great interview on this matter with a mutual friend of ours, Jeff Rentz, a few days ago.
Yes. In fact, if people would like to listen and watch a video which Jeff made, 17-minute video of my latest broadcast with him, it's up there just right at the top of Rentz.com. It's really interesting. He's got very powerful footage and illustrations in there. I should also mention, you said at the beginning of the program that we need pastors who will teach the people. We do a feature now, my Bible studies, which I give twice a week, which are available right at truthtellers.org. So if you don't have a home church that is teaching you the whole truth, especially about right doctrine and Zionism and so on, just sit in twice a week at truthtellers.org, and you get a very in-depth and, I believe, a very satisfying provision of your spiritual and intellectual needs.
The only thing hotter than homeschooling is home churching, and if you're not getting the Spirit ministered the way you'd like at your church now, quit shopping. All you got to do is just meet together in the confines of your own home. Tune into truthtellers.org. I can guarantee you you're going to get a message of biblical truth from Ted Pike that is exactly what you're looking for. And Ted, that's an exciting development and a continued manifestation of your work. God bless you, my friend. We're so lucky to have you as a regular guest on this radio program. And again, it comes with my heartiest endorsement that folks check out your website and support that what you're doing. It's you're really a hero.
Well, thank you, James. We couldn't do it without you.
Always my pleasure, my friend, and we will talk to you again soon, I have no doubt.
Thank you.
Reverend Ted Pike, everyone, truthtellers.org. That caps off an absolutely outstanding program tonight. If between Mark Weber, Gordon Baum, and Ted Pike, I have not been able to send the SPLC and ADL into an uproar, I'm just not doing my – I must have lost that magic touch.
Hello, everyone.
But I'm sure we have. And of course, that's not why we do these things, but we'll take guilty pleasures as well. On behalf of the outstanding lineup of guests tonight, and on behalf of Winston Smith and Keith Alexander, who were co-hosting with me this evening, and of course the two co-hosts who were not on the program tonight, Bill Rowland and Eddie the Bombardier Miller, I'm James Edwards, thanking you for being with us tonight. Don't forget that we will be back with you next week, same time, same place, Saturday evening, 6 p.m. Central Time. You will be able to hear us here. and on the Liberty News Radio Network's affiliate stations. Don't forget to join us next week as well at the Political Cesspool Fan Party at cofcc.org. And ladies and gentlemen, if you appreciate the message that this program brings to you each and every Saturday night, we encourage you to support our work by making a secure and discreet credit card donation online this evening at thepoliticalcesspool.org. Thepoliticalcesspool.org. Click on the donate link. If you send in a contribution of $25 or more before January 31st, you will receive a copy of Keith Alexander's booklet, Liberalism and Its Effect on American Society, and my book, Racism, Schmacism, How Liberals Use the R Word to Push the Obama Agenda. Both of those books will be your gifts for a contribution of $25 or more before January 31st. Make it tonight at thepoliticalcesspool.org. I'm James Edwards. God bless you, everybody. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for joining us tonight in the Political Cesspool. To learn more about us or to make a donation to keep this program on the air, go to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.